Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
This is a special announcement. I'm proud to announce that we're going to have a special Q&A where I'm going to give you a phone number and you're going to be able to call in your question, leave it on voicemail. If we like your question, we'll play it on the air. Even if we don't like your question, we may play it on the podcast. And then we're going to have myself and a couple special guests, and we're going to have a whole podcast dedicated to question time. If you call the number, leave a message, what your question is, try to keep it short so we can play it on the air. The number, 559-653-7457. Once again, try to keep your question as short as possible so that we can play it on the air, and then we'll answer it. 559-653-7457. We'll play this episode in the coming weeks. Thank you. This is Devin Nunes. Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This is another week where we're going to do a deep dive into China. And I want to do a little historical tour this week with Gordon Chang. Gordon, we have a dictator now in China. His name is Xi Jinping. Relatively new onto the scene, took out the whole system, essentially made himself dictator for life. Let's walk back a little bit as to how we got here, going back 20 years ago when he kind of comes onto the scene, and how has he developed power and then now rooted out in essentially any challenger to his power?
Yeah, the Communist Party has changed under the rule of Xi Jinping. It has always been driven by factions, coalitions, groups, which cooperate and compete with each other. And there was this general notion that the general secretary of the Communist Party, in other words, the most powerful person in China, would come from one faction and then the other faction would have the next one. Xi Jinping was interesting because he was not really identified with any of the major factions in the party. His predecessor, Hu Jintao, was the Communist Youth League. Mm-hmm. Hu Jintao's predecessor, Jiang Zemin, was the Shanghai Gang. But Xi Jinping was not identified with either of those. And so he was, in effect, acceptable to everybody because he was the least unacceptable choice. You know, Hu Jintao wanted somebody else, Li Keqiang, who is now the premier. Jiang Zemin wanted somebody else. But they had to settle, and they settled on Xi Jinping. What Xi Jinping has done is he's then gone out after he took power in November 2012, and he has absolutely changed the Communist Party, as you say. It used to be a collective type of organization where responsibility and power were diffuse. What he has done is he's accumulated power in an unprecedented fashion, or at least unprecedented since the time of Mao Zedong, who founded New China, as they call it. And that has meant that he has accumulated not only power, but also accountability, changing China's political system in ways which many people did not foresee in 2012.
And part of that method has been systematically going after and selectively enforcing the law, the Chinese law, on his opponents and looking at those who have maybe garnered more wealth than they should have.
That's true of almost every senior Chinese communist figure. They're all corrupt, or virtually they're all corrupt. And Xi Jinping has gone after his political enemies in a so-called anti-corruption campaign.
Right.
But this didn't have anything to do with corruption. What he did was he went after his political opponents. He did not go after his supporters. He also didn't go after his family, which has gotten fabulously wealthy. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that Xi Jinping did go after anti-corruption campaigners. And so this has
meaning people who were actually wanted to eliminate the corruption.
Yes. So this has really been a very effective use of that phrase. It's been popular with a lot of Chinese because although they realize everybody's corrupt, they like to see a lot of them in jail. And Xi Jinping has put a lot of people in jail. And that's true, not only civilian officials, but also in the military. He has changed the leadership of the military significantly by jailing the generals and admirals who were loyal to, for instance, Jiang Zemin, who retained extensive control over the Chinese military, even though he had been out of power for 10 years.
So when you look at the most notable, the most talked about kind of disappearance of a rising leader was Bo Xilai. And I don't know the history well enough, Gordon, but what kind of pocket of power was he from? and then maybe walk our listeners, because I think that's a good example that's been well publicized, how he just disappeared off the scene.
Yeah. Boshi Lai is now serving a life sentence for corruption. But Boshi Lai was a rising star. Like Xi Jinping, had a parent who was famous in Communist Party circles. Mm-hmm. What Boshi Lai did, he was the party secretary of Chongqing. Party secretary is more important than the governor. Governor is—
because he's controlling all the business interests.
He's the party secretary controls the party. The party controls society. So Bo was party secretary at Chongqing.
Chongqing is known as, I think, the industrial—
is a city.
And capital of China, right?
Chongqing is a city in southwestern China, has a land size of about Belgium. If you think of Belgium, it's Chongqing, although it's technically just a provincial level city. What Bo did, because his father was a military officer, when Boshi Lai saw things closing in on him, he went over to Chengdu and talked to what was then the 14th Growth Army, which was founded by his father. And so there has been this hint that Boshi Lai was looking to protect himself by starting a coup. Now, we don't know if that was actually his intention, but any time that you have a senior civilian leader talking to significant senior military figures, which is just an unauthorized contact, then that obviously rang alarm bells.
Because Boshi Lai was younger than Xi Jinping.
He's younger, more charismatic. Right. He's the type of person, if there were a free election in China, which of course they're not, but if there were a free election, Boshi Lai would actually have a shot at it because he was popular. He wrapped himself in the themes of Mao Zedong and built a lot of money and built a lot of infrastructure, a lot of buildings.
Built up that whole industrial complex there.
And engaged in a lot of bad acts. But clearly it was a threat to Xi Jinping. And one of the more important things for Xi in terms of consolidating his power was to get rid of rivals like Boshi Lai. You got to remember, you know, Xi Jinping did not have a political base when he became General Party Secretary. So he had to go after his rivals. And the other thing that he had to do, Devin, he had to get control of the military, which is what he did. He made officers of the People's Liberation Army the core of his political support, which meant, of course, that Xi Jinping was beholden to some pretty hostile elements. So now you have extremely hostile elements of the Chinese political system have now increasing clout.
Interesting. And then Boshi Lai, just to finish out that chapter, Boshi Lai, it wasn't just he got locked up, but also didn't his family disappear too?
His family has been put in jail. Zhou Yongkang, a figure closely connected with Jiang Zemin, was brought down. He was a former internal security czar. A lot of very prominent figures have been imprisoned. Under the old system, when a new leader came into power, it was live and let live. And the idea was that if everyone gets along, the system will stay together. Mm-hmm. Deng Xiaoping, who was Mao Zedong's successor, one of the things he did was he lowered the cost of losing political struggles in China. Under Mao, the founder of the People's Republic.
Mao, which is World War II time, after that takes control.
Mao Zedong forms the People's Republic in 1949. Mao kills people who he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And what Deng did was people who lost political struggles got a villa. And there was corruption was allowed, but it was everyone was sort of get along. If you lower the cost of losing a political struggle, you also reduce the risk of crisis that can tear the Communist Party apart because people aren't going to struggle to the end anymore. You don't lose your life. You go have and live a luxurious existence. What Xi Jinping has done, he's reversed that process. He's increased the cost of losing a political struggle. If you lose a political struggle, you're going to jail. You're going to get stripped of your assets. Mm-hmm. All sorts of bad things are going to happen to you. And that has meant that there are a lot of people right now, I think, in China who are waiting for Xi Jinping to make a mistake. They are going to come out of the woodwork and go after him. And that makes China less stable than it was before.
And which is why, getting back to the point you were making about the army officers, the military officers that he's moving up into positions of power. So is he eliminating some of the seniors and bringing in younger people that he is that he trusts into these positions of power?
He's bringing in younger officers who are now loyal to him for a number of reasons. He initially promoted a lot of them from a particular military region. They used to have military regions before his reorganization. These are people who are loyal to Xi Jinping. But also, he's gotten rid of the top layer of generals and admirals who had loyalty to other figures in the Communist Party. This has meant turmoil in the People's Liberation Army, but it's also done two things. It's made it a more effective fighting force, along with the reorganization of about 3 years ago. Plus, also, it's now at least certain parts of the PLA are more loyal to Xi Jinping. He actually has control. His predecessor, Hu Jintao, did not have effective control of the military. And so what Xi Jinping has done is he's changed that. But the cost of that for Xi Jinping is that he's now beholden to generals and admirals. And these guys can do what they want, and they're getting more and more of the resources of China, as you can see, in their military budgets.
And how did Xi Jinping, so he's been in since 2012, how is he able to change the rules of the Communist Party now where he doesn't even have to stand within the Communist Party for election? How did that happen, and how long do we have to deal with this guy?
Those are great questions. How long we have to deal with him? We don't know.
As long as he lives?
As long as he lives. But how long does he live? You know, does he live to, he's in his mid-60s right now. Does he live to his 80s or 90s, or does he live until tomorrow? We just don't know that. You know, a lot of people in connection with the trade war, Devin, say, oh, you know, President Trump has an election in November 2020. Xi Jinping doesn't have to worry about elections. Actually, that's not right. Xi Jinping has an election every day. Every day he has, if he lives to the end of the day, that's a victory for him. Now, he does look powerful, but the point is, once you've accumulated unprecedented power, you also accumulate unprecedented accountability. And in 2017, when things were thought to be going well for China, that was great for Xi Jinping. He got all the credit. Come to 2018, where President Trump imposes tariffs and a lot of other bad things happen to Beijing, Xi Jinping is catching a lot of the blame for this. And that means that if he falters in a significant way, he could very well lose not only his position, he could lose his freedom, he could lose his assets, and we could go back to the Maoist era where he even loses his life. So this is a period where Xi Jinping has a very low threshold for risk. And we've got to remember that in our relations with him, which means that we've got to be resolute. We've got to determine to defend our society. And we've got to remember that there's great risk out there for us.
Gordon Chang, everybody, keeping us up to date, doing a deep dive into Xi Jinping. Gordon, thank you.
Thank you so much, Devin.
This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week. Just another reminder, we're going to have our Q&A podcast coming up in a few weeks. The number is 559-653-7457. Don't forget to leave a message. Keep it short. Try to keep the cuss words out. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all.
Trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. Strong. Fight through.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.